Yo, Visine 83, y'all mean on the road, on the go. I am in Austin, Texas. I'm teaching out here at University of Texas, Austin. It's pretty fly. I got these kids out here doing the thing. You know me as a breaker, and I got modern and ballet bodies to work on. It's really fly and inspiring. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about meeting people on the road, an old dancing friend, still good friend of mine, out in Texas, Austin, Texas, that is, who opened up a CrossFit gym. Let me tell you, man, I just went to this gym. I'm inspired. I might go open me one up, man. It might be like 10 by 10 or something. But anyway, no, man, I was super, super excited. I'm happy for him, man. And I got some questions about the gym and the dance and the life. He used to be in Philly. He's from Texas. You're originally from Texas, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And then you moved to Philly to go to school. Now you're back in Texas. Let me just get right to it. My man, DDT, just like Jake the Snake, Jacob Hill. Jacob Hill, what's up, man?
What's up, Rob?
What's up, man? I'm good. Yeah. I'm good, Hollywood. Good to see you. Yeah, man, it's always good to see you, man, and keep in touch, man. And I'm out here teaching. I'm glad I got a chance to link up with you and check out your gym, man. That's pretty remarkable, man. You went from, dance to have this gym.
Yeah, I think a kind of natural transition. I ended up teaching breaking to, I don't know how many students I had and, doing bar mitzvahs, doing that.
Yeah.
And kind of teaching people there and just kind of getting involved in fitness because I was active, started coaching and just saw an opportunity there. So
Of course. And how you like that? That's a major transition, man, the dance will beat your body up. You know that. And you were considered a power head, so to speak, which is a lot of spins and stuff. And that'll beat your body up. But so the training wise, what's the difference that you feel or notice of the benefits of the dance and now the fitness, the working out? How do you feel between the two?
Well, so I was kind of like I push myself pretty hard in everything that I do physically.
Yeah.
And so when I started doing CrossFit, I was trying to be very competitive doing it, and I pushed myself like really hard to the point that I my back was pretty jacked up, right? And so I remember one night just listening to music with my wife and thinking about doing a forward roll, just a forward roll, and being like, shit, I can't do this right now. You know, how did it get to this point? Yeah. Just because my back was so locked up, you know, bending over
right.
The time my shoes hurt, I couldn't jump rope, I couldn't run. And I just got there because I was a bonehead. I didn't stretch enough, and we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
You know, I would hit it hard and just not stretch afterwards. But for a while, I had a nice overlap where we had a Thursday night practice at my gym. And I'll tell you what, man, I learned how to really, my windmills were much faster. Everything
wow.
that I was doing was much, much faster just because of a lot of these explosive movements
yeah.
that I was doing with kettlebells and barbells and things like that. Yeah, I learned to really whip myself into some stuff a little bit faster.
But, right on. I remember when you were telling me about the whole kettlebell thing. There were, you know, you go into a gym and you're working out with all these weights and shit, but the kettlebell itself was built to be able to do all of those exercises and get better benefits just with that than you did with all of the heavy weights that you throw around in the gym. But that's pretty fly, man. So how many members do you work? How many members do you have? How does that work? Like, you got this gym now, and it's very niche. You know, you can't just, it's not like you just go to a gym and sign up for a regular $45 membership like all of us non-box kids hang around.
Right.
But how does that work?
Well, so it's a really different model than, well, we would call that a Globo gym, like an LA Fitness, mm-hmm. Gold's Gym type of deal. And the way their business model is actually successful if they have a large number of clients signed up and not many of them actually go. So they're kind of banking on their membership being just cheap enough that you're like, $30 a month, what, I won't cancel this month, you know. And some of them, like Planet Fitness, their psychology is even deeper, where they have, like, you know, pizza night at Planet Fitness.
Oh, my God. And so you're like, rolls.
Yeah. So they're like, you know, they're like, your mindset is, well, at least I got pizza, you know. I'm not going to cancel. I got that pizza, you know. So, but our membership is different. We have, it's much smaller. The gym's about 2,100 square feet. We have right now 90 members. I could say we could comfortably add another 30 and be fine. But still, that's 120 members. And so it's a more expensive monthly membership for the client, but they're all group fitness classes, group coaching, right? So you might be in a class with 10 other people, and, you know, the coach stops by and checks on your form and, you know, gives you encouragement, where you're not really getting that at, you know, Golds or something like that. Or if you are, it's because you added on, you know, you paid to do cardio Zumba size or
Zumba size. That's funny, man. Yeah, boom.
Trademark that shit right now. Zumba size.
Zumba size. So what's happening now, man? Like, how you're back in Texas. Actually, what caused the move? Like, why did you move back to Texas?
So I had a real interesting living situation that I needed to get out of.
Yeah.
That was part of it. And I actually had been, I was already coaching CrossFit at the time, and I came to back to Austin for a gymnastics seminar, and the tacos were really good. The weather was great. Everybody was happy. I was like, what am I doing, man? In Philly, everyone's tight and like walking around, you know, it's cold outside.
This dude moved back to Texas for Taco Tuesdays. Yeah. You believe that shit? We lost Jacob Hill to Texas Taco Tuesdays, man. I'm insulted, man.
So it was kind of this, you know, this perfect storm of just, I wasn't happy with my living.
All right, go ahead.
Fuck, I completely.
Yo, listen, we in a car, right? We just left the gym. I got to go back to class. He's driving me. We're on the highway. Somebody calls my fucking phone, jams my thing up, cuts my shit off. We back at it. Go.
Yeah. Okay. So we were talking about the scene in Texas. Yeah. In Austin in particular. And so when I left in like 98, it was when it was peaking, you know, and for a few years after that. And when I moved to Philly, there was not a huge scene.
Right.
There we had, you know, you guys with Pure Movement, so Raph and Cricket and Ron and some of those guys. I started practicing with Hussein and Flitz.
Flitz, yeah.
Yep, and we were going to Kumquat back on 4th Street or 3rd?
4th and Bainbridge.
Fourth and Bainbridge, yep. Anyway, so I had always said that I wanted to come back because I really, the scene was not, there wasn't a large b-boy scene in Philadelphia. There was a good scene, but it wasn't what I was used to.
Yeah, yeah.
And the irony is that when I came back to Austin, now there are like 10 people who break here.
Yeah.
And at the time, you were just telling me different, but at the time when I left, there were tons of kids breaking in Philly.
Yeah.
And now it sounds like maybe it's trailing off of just a little bit, but
they're in pockets, man. They're all over, but it's not that growing number like it was when you were coming. It was fresh, and there was a bunch of them, and then some of them dipped out. Like Joe's son left, Sessa's gone, Jamal's gone, Adrian's done. We still got cats like Knuckles is still around. Hannibal is... He just hurt himself. He's in and out. But there's some new cats who came from different areas who are there now. Jerry from New York. Buggy, he's from... He's not from the Ukraine. He's from somewhere. I can't remember exactly. But anyway, yeah, it has changed a little bit, man, and they're slowed down. But they train hard, and Philly still trains hard. And you're married, man. You're into music too. We got a little bit of that. You're into music. You play now. You got all these things you're doing, man. It's really good to see another creative striving in their form and in the art world, man. It's really inspiring, and I'm glad I got a chance to hook up with you. I got a break. because I'm at class. I got to go teach my class. But thanks for showing me a gym, man. You got a great house and you got them great ass dogs, a great pain in the ass dogs. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding, man. Where can we find you at? Tell them about the gym.
The gym is called CrossFit Rep, R-E-P, like, you know, one rep, two reps,
right,
three reps.
Four.
Four reps, yeah. That's it, CrossFit Rep.
You got a website?
Blog. Yeah, we got a blog on there, a ton of good health info, actually. I know that you're in that space, too, so if somebody listening to this might be interested in reading some of our stuff about diet and stress management and things like that. So we got all kinds of topics. It's not just meathead shit.
Right.
So,
right on.
Yeah, check it out.
Good to know. Indeed, man. Visine 83 on the road, on the go. If you guys are trying to figure out how to move forward in the art world, dance world, wherever it may be, hit me at RafaelXavier.org. Call me, email me, text me. Be like me and Jake. Starving artist is not in our vocabulary.
That's right.
But striving is. Y'all be cool. I'll see you on the other side.